that I'll be looking for. And are we almost ready?
I think so.
All right.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Johnny Todd, he took a notion for to sail the ocean wide, and he left his love behind him, walking down by the Liverpool tide. For a week she wept with sorrow, tore her hair and wrung her hands, till she met another sailor, walking down by the Liverpool sand. Wife, fair maid, are you a-weeping for your Johnny gone to sea? If you'll wed with me tomorrow, I will kind and constant be. I'll buy you some sheets and blankets, and for you a wedding ring, and once more a golden cradle for to rock the baby in. Johnny Todd's come home from sailing, sailing o'er the ocean wide, and he found his fair and false one was another sailor's bride. All you men who go a-sailing for to fight the foreign foe, do not leave your love like Johnny, marry her before you go. As if that would make any difference. Oh, I'm kind of discombobulated today. I have no idea what I'm singing for you from one take to the next. We're doing some stuff on the Civil War at 6 at the jam tent. Ah, yes. We were talking about the fact that I'm available for hire as a singer. Uh-huh. And that reminded me of another song that I do now and again. It was something that happened quite by accident. I was, I'm artist in residence up at Lincoln Center in New York City, and one of the first shows I had to do for them was a show on pirates. They asked me to do a show on pirates. And that opened up all kinds of stuff, all kinds of interesting songs, but this one is apropos. Farewell, ye dungeons dark and strong, farewell, farewell to thee. Macfarlane's time will no be long on yonder gallows tree. Say rantingly, say wantonly, say dauntingly, gaed he. He played a tune and he danced it around about the gallows tree. Oh, little did my mother think when first she cradled me that I would turn a roving lad and die on the gallows tree. Say rantingly, say wantonly, say dauntingly, gaed he played a tune and he danced it around about the gallows tree. Jamie McPherson was an incredible fiddle player. Scotland, right around 1700. And his fiddle was famous. Supposed to be quite a contraption. But like a lot of musicians, Jamie McPherson needed a day job. So he became an outlaw, a highwayman, a pirate, or as they would say, a rover. Didn't go over well with the authorities, so they hanged him. 1700. He's on the scaffold with the rope around his neck. They ask him, do you have any last words to say? And he says, no, but I would like my fiddle. They give him his fiddle, and with the rope around his neck, he plays this tune to the audience. Turned out that he had made that tune up the night before as a celebration of his own execution. When he was done playing it, he held the fiddle out to the audience and said, if anybody here present promises me that they will play this tune at my wake,
then I will give them this fiddle. Everybody was just dumbfounded. They were... So McPherson takes the fiddle, turns around, and smashes it over the head of the hangman. And then with the rope around his neck, he jumped off the scaffold himself. Or as the pirates like to say back then, he jerked himself into the devil's arms.
Say rantingly, say wantonly, say dauntingly, gayed he. He played a tune and he danced it around about the gallows tree.
Jamie McPherson. I do a lot of teaching, both up in New York and down here in Florida. Artist in residence for the Sarasota County School Systems, where I teach history. I can go in there 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, focusing on different periods of American history, their folk songs, and their stories. So you get a really firsthand experience of how things were back then. I don't like to use that last song as a role model, but it always ends up that way somehow. Because you've got to admit, the guy had guts. But here's a real pirate song. This is a famous pirate song. This is one that most folkies have heard, but it's real. It goes back into the 14th century. Scots pirate. Broadside.
There were three brothers in merry Scotland. In merry Scotland there were three. And they did cast lots which of them should go, should go, should go, and turn a robber on the salt sea. The lot it fell first upon Henry Martin, the youngest of the three, that he should turn robber all on the salt sea, the salt sea, the salt sea, for to maintain his two brothers and he. Where they had not been sailing but a long winter's night, and a part of a short winter's day, when they did espy a stout lofty ship, lofty ship, lofty ship, come up bibbing down on him straightway. Hello, hello, cried Henry Martin, what makes you sail so nigh? I'm a rich merchant ship bound for fair London town, London town, London town. Oh, won't you please for to let me pass by? Oh, no, no, cried Henry Martin, that thing it never can be. For I have turned robber all on the salt sea, the salt sea, the salt sea, for to maintain my two brothers and me. So lower your topsail and brail up your mizzen, bow yourselves under my lee, or I shall give to you a fast flowing ball, flowing ball, flowing ball, and cast a dear bodies all in the salt sea. 'Twas broadside and broadsiders at it, and they went for nearly 2 hours at three, till Henry Martin gave to them the death shot, the death shot, the death shot, and straight to the bottom went she. Bad news to old England came, bad news to fair London town. There's been a rich vessel and she's cast away, cast away, cast away, and all of her merry men drowned.
Henry Martin. I mentioned, yeah, we're going to do a Civil War gathering. And so I'll do a little Civil War piece that I do often when I'm trying to get people into the mood of the Civil War. I don't get a chance to use it very much for opening concerts. It's not really a concert opener. And I don't do it very much when I'm doing programs on the Civil War either. But I love it. And I'm going to sit down for it. I'm very much in the business of resurrecting spirits with the old songs. I'm sorry. And I've always had a belief that if you sing the old songs in a proper setting, then you resurrect the spirits of the folks that sang them, that they speak to us through their songs. And that is perhaps, for me, most true with the American Civil War. And I start off by saying that the banjo is a magical instrument, and we're going to use this to take us back into a time when this land of ours was filled with hope, pride, vinegar, and dreams. All the wonderful aspirations of youth soon to come cascading in upon us in that terrible Civil War.
Flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe, flies in the buttermilk shoe, fly shoe, skipty my loo, my darling. Hair in the butter to 6 feet long, hair in the butter to 6 feet long, hair in the butter to 6 feet long, skipty my loo, my darling. Loo, loo, skip to my loo, 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 skip to my loo, 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 skip to my loo, skip to my loo, my darling.
War is gone, in the ranks of death you'll find
his father's sword he hath girded on his wild harp slung behind him. O land of song, cried the warrior bard, though all the world betrays thee, one sword at least thy rights shall guard, one faithful harp shall praise thee.
Let's see. This is a contemporary folk song. Contemporary. Meaning it was written in my lifetime, which is expanding. I mean, the realm range is expanding.
He was a man and a friend always. He stuck with me in the hard old days. Well, he never cared if we had no dough. We rambled around in the rain and snow.
Here's your part.
So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Yes, here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Well, late one night, no, I just messed it up. I'm having a weird thing happen to me. It's never happened before. I think it's because you're getting old.
But my fingers are cramping. See me doing this? I'm trying to get to, trying to get to the guitar. Here we go. Where was I?
To Tulsa Town, we chanced one day.
How did you give it to me?
To Tulsa Town.
We thought we'd try to find some work one day.
Yeah. And the boss said he had room for one.
Yeah.
Said my old pal, well, we'd rather bum.
Here we go again.
So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Yes, here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Well, late one night in a jungle camp, the weather it was cold and damp. Well, he got the chills, oh, he got them bad. They took the only friend I had. So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Yes, here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Oh, la, 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 la.
Lost a rambling pal a while ago. It's something that happens when you all hang around long enough, we lose rambling pals. In this case, it was Desmond Slattery. What a guy. What a guy. We sang this song at his last birthday. And about a month and a half later, we sang it at his wake. Now, I had never been to an Irish wake before. Oh my God, what a time that was. People came from all over the world to say goodbye to Dez and get absolutely snockered. And then they took stories telling, or took turns telling stories about their experiences with Desmond all over the world. I thought I knew a lot about the guy, but whoa, just incredible. But the story that stood out the most for me was his best friend, Jim Moran, surrogate father of mine. And that's when I found out what it meant to have the Irish in you. You see, these guys are incredible. Oh, Count Carlo, Burl Ives. A whole bunch of other ones. Vic the Smuggler, they made a movie about him. I think Charles Bronson played him. They called Breakout or 10 Second Escape or something. I mean, these are real characters. The Irish in them. That meant that no matter how outrageous one of their exploits may be, all the other of the gang would act like it was nothing at all. Just perfectly normal day. It was called the Irish in them. Well, according to Jim, some years ago, they had run out of money in Fort Worth, Texas. Hell of a place to run out of money, particularly back then in the late 40s. They were trying to get back to Hollywood where they belonged. And they took stock of their situation. They were in a very fancy hotel. No money. We will order our food up, have them put it on the bill, and we're smart. We'll come up with something. We'll figure it out. Give us a couple days. So that's what they did. They stayed in that room, they ordered their food up, and they plotted and conspired, but didn't come up with anything. A couple days went by, the food still came. Third day, the food comes, but with a bill. The fourth day, no food, just the bill. Desmond wakes up the fifth day, gets up, puts on his fanciest clothes. Desmond was one incredible dresser. Says, Jim, we got to do something. And goes out the door. About 2 hours later, Desmond returns with $200 in his pocket. Back then, that was enough to pay the bill and get them well on their way back to Hollywood where they belonged. Now, you think that Jim would have asked him where he got that $200? Nope. The Irish in them. So there it was, now about 20 years ago, Bellevue Hospital, one of the upper floors, Desmond lying there, not looking very good, with all kinds of tubes and wires coming out of him, and Jim looking out over the dismal sights of Queens and Brooklyn, late January. Jim turns around to Desmond and says, damn it all, Jez, I can't take this anymore. I just can't take it. Where did you get that $200 back in Fort Worth? Slow smile across Desmond's face. He says, Jim, I knew you were going to have to ask me that sooner or later. Well, apparently Desmond went out onto the streets of Fort Worth, found a very high-ranking police officer, he could tell by all the scrambled eggs on his visor, came up to him and said, how do you do, Desmond, sir? Police officer, sir, my name is Desmond Slattery. I am from Hollywood, and I'm hoping that you can direct me to the very finest body house that Fort Worth has to offer. It's got to be the very best, because we are from Hollywood, one with an impeccable reputation for beautiful women. Well, the high-ranking police officer was at first a little shocked, but then he did allow that Desmond did come to the right source, and he told him where he could find the very best body house. Desmond goes up, knocks on the door. The madam answers, how do you do, madam? My name is Desmond Slattery. I am from Hollywood, and I understand that your establishment is not only the best west of the Mississippi, it is probably the best in the whole of the nation and is renowned for their beautiful women. And because I am from Hollywood, only the most beautiful of your women will do. So I'm hoping that you can line them up here, and I'll look them up and down, and I will pick what, in my estimation, is absolutely the most flawless beauty. Well, all the women came, lined up. Desmond looked them up and down. They're wondering what this is all about. He picks the girl that he thinks is the absolutely most beautiful. They go up the stairs. She's grinning back at the other ones over her shoulder, and They get up into the room, close the door. She starts to take off her clothes, and he stops her. Oh, no, 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 you don't have to do that. I don't? No, no, that's not why we're up here. Shadow of suspicion crosses her face. Why are we up here? Big smile comes across his face. He says, well, my name is Desmond Slattery. I am from Hollywood, and we are up here so that I can ask you if you will loan me $200. She said, you got to be kidding. He says, no, 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 no. He says, well, then you're crazy. He says, well, that might be a possibility. But I'm also a man of my word. And I promise you, on my word, that if you loan me this $200, I will have it back to you inside of a month. And if you loan me this $200, being from Hollywood and well-placed, I know by looking at you that you have always dreamed of becoming a movie star. So should it ever happen that you come to Hollywood, you will not only have a place to live, you will have some of the best friends you could ever imagine with all the right connections that will make all the right introductions and guide you on your quest. Well, as you know, he got the $200. She got it back inside of a month. And apparently, she went to Hollywood. Des and Jim were true to their words. And at that wake, I had to promise. Because, you see, she became one of the great Hollywood stars. And I had to promise never to reveal her name. He left me here to ramble on my rambling pal. It's dead and gone. If when we die we go somewhere, well, I bet you a dollar he's rambled in there. So here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Yes, here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. To you, Des, and yeah, you too, Jim. We miss you.
Thank you.